So how busy are you? And before you answer that question, just consider this. We often overestimate the number of hours we actually work. Often, even when we take work home with us, we waste more time, sometimes a lot more time than we realize. In her new book, Do Nothing, Celeste Headlee writes that the obsessive things we do to make us more productive can often have the opposite effect. And there are ways, she tells us, that we can reclaim our time and use it for things we enjoy. Celeste, who has been an NPR host in the past, is with us from our studios in New York to talk about her book. Celeste, I have so many questions.
Oh, I have so many answers.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
So let's start with the title, the full title, Do Nothing, How to Break Away from Overworking, Overdoing, and Underliving. And I have to point this out. There's a drawing of a sloth on the cover. I mean, does that mean that if I stop working, I could become as lazy as a sloth?
Is a sloth really lazy, or do they just move more slowly and deliberately? You know, some things have to go fast, but not everything does.
Well, and that seems to be much of what this book is. Assumptions that you make about, you know, something that you might think is lazy could actually be really good for you.
Exactly. You know, we have gotten to this place where we think everything needs to be as fast as possible. Everything needs to be as efficient and productive as possible. And in order to do that, we are pushing our brains and our bodies in a way that they're just not biologically or emotionally equipped to do. The brain doesn't persist. The brain pulses, which means it needs alternation between rest and focused labor, rest and focused labor. That's how it works at its best. So if you push that too far, you're just overdriving the engine and you're going to burn out.
What was your aha moment when you, as you put it, realized that you were underliving?
The big one was where I was literally bedridden for the second time in less than 9 months and thinking to myself, what is happening? Because I was more successful than ever, I had all the things that sort of checked all my boxes, right? I had plenty of money. Things were going really well for me. So why was I not just sick, but miserable? And that's where I sort of had to start questioning my own assumptions about what was it I was trying to achieve? Why was I pushing myself so hard? Like, where was I pushing toward? And that sort of started the whole cavalcade of research.
And I feel like what you talk about going through is something that so many of us can. It becomes stuff that we feel like we just need to do. There's no choice.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is I forced myself to not do it, right? I forced myself to not look at email for days at a time and realized nothing exploded.
The world went on.
You know, I do an untouchable day each week, which is one day a week I don't look at email and I don't look at social media. And I really struggled to keep it up. I put a vacation responder that said, look, if it's really important, just call me. And it's been 2 years, David. No one has called. Nobody. And that really is telling to me that most of our emails are not urgent.
You look back at history and you tell us that this is a relatively recent phenomenon, that if you go back in time, there wasn't this obsession with working as many hours as you could. And people did actually have leisure time that made life more fulfilling.
Yeah, and that was a real epiphany for me, because I think a lot of people are getting ready to blame our current burnout epidemic on technology. And although technology does exacerbate the problem, it's not the source. And that means even if you were to dump all your electronics into the East River, you would still be overworked and miserable and unhappy. So I traced it back to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And I mean, it literally changed the way our species lived and worked, almost every aspect of it. So it's not surprising that some of those changes are not working out for us. And I think it's time for us to go back and re-examine some of the things that are different now from the way that we were doing them for most of our species history and ask if they're serving us. One of the things that's becoming quite clear is that the brain simply does not have an unlimited number of focused hours in the day. It works at its best when it puts in focused, non-multitasked hours focusing on one thing at a time, and then gets time to not be focused on productivity. What your brain is doing is it's reshifting the things that it's learned in, say, the past 24 hours. It's shifting through memories. It's making new connections. It's doing surprising things because it's not focused on a task. And so that's where a lot of creativity comes from and innovation, because it's making unexpected connections.
Well, and this speaks to some of the solutions that you suggested. And one critical one is to actually spend a couple weeks with like a diary charting your days and how much time you're spending on what. And you said, people might really be surprised when they do this.
Yeah, I think it is a surprise to people because it does feel like we're working more. But, you know, researchers have kept pretty good records of time use for decades now, and there's no evidence that we're working more hours, even if you calculate in polluted time, meaning the time that you spend at home answering emails. And I think that brings up a really good question of, if it is true that you are working fewer hours, and you probably are, than, say, your parents or grandparents, why are you so much more exhausted? That's sort of the question at the heart of this, because I don't question anybody's claim that they're exhausted. I know they are. I was.
And what's the answer? Why are we feeling so stressed if we're not working harder than we used to?
Part of the problem is that your brain sees your phone as work. Anytime that phone is visible, your brain is expending part of its energy on preparing for a notification to come in. It's like a runner at the starting gate. In fact, they've shown in some cases that people will lose IQ points, 10 to 12 IQ points, when their email inbox is open or their cell phone is visible. You're carrying your work literally everywhere. As far as your brain and body are concerned, you're never taking time off. And the thing about keeping that diary is, the more honest you are, the more helpful that's going to be. You know, once you subtract sleep and work and eating and commuting and all those other things, you have probably somewhere between 5 or 6 hours a day at your disposal to do with as you please. And if you're using up half of that idly paging through Facebook and liking things, it might come as a surprise to you that you have more time than you think. And I think that was my biggest surprise. Once I cut out those things, I have so much more time now.
Celeste, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Celeste Headlee. Her new book is called Do Nothing.